Romans chapter number 12. And we'll begin in verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, we're going to touch on some things that certainly are not exclusive to in importance to young people. The most aged saint, the person in this room that's been saved the longest, Lord, we need these character traits. It's a good checklist to go through. But Lord, for young people, the importance of these things, Lord, cannot be overemphasized. The importance of these character traits literally is the difference between a young person that misses the will of God and the young person that fulfills the will of God. I pray that we would listen to it, Lord, soberly tonight. I pray that we would listen to your Holy Spirit specifically tonight. And Lord, we wouldn't miss out on what you're doing in this place through the Word of God tonight. Now bless, Lord, and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've watched a lot of young people come and go through the ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I started working with teenagers when I was a teenager. I literally went to Bible college, registered when I was 17 years of age, not just registered for class, but signed up for ministry, and I mean literally from day one, was working with teenagers, and love it, enjoy it, what a blessing they are. Spent my time in training, reaching children. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the history of this church is firmly founded on reaching the young next generation. I always say this, a lot of people talk about the importance of reaching the next generation, and you've heard me say it before, but you know what I say? Follow the money. Follow the money. It's easy for a church to talk about it. It's a whole different thing to put your money where your mouth is. And if you want to calculate on a weekly basis, I've never done it, what we put into just in reaching and discipling young people through all the varied ministries, it's a good lion's share of what goes on around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, not just financially, but in man hours, in time. I mean, it's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to do it. Several of our adults are not in the service tonight. You know where they're at? They're over there discipling young people. That's where they're at. Sunday school hours dedicated to discipling young people and reaching young people with the gospel. Bus ministry, of course. Our children's churches and our primary churches, starting nursery all the way up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. So while before they can understand what the ladies are saying, they're quoting scripture to them in the nursery. And that's what we do. This is what this place is about. I talked to a guest preacher tonight when I was over doing a little bit on the Sherathon tonight, and he was giving his testimony. He said, I started attending church 9 months before I was born. And I think that's the way it ought to be. You walk into a church and you look around and there's no children, no young people. You're in a dying church. You're in a dying church. It doesn't have a future because the reaching the next generation gives that church life, gives that church a chance, gives that church a future. And I'm not saying this to pat us on the back. I'm saying this to remind us that we cannot leave our commitment to that. And We're working very hard to do that. Now, you have a lot of young people come. You have a lot of young people go. Young people that are here, and I say children, and I say to our teenagers, you know, sometimes you may think because, and I understand this, you know, you're where you're at. But, you know, you're not the first teenager that's come through here, you know. And we've watched a lot of them come through. I started working here in 1994, and we've got young people now that was in my youth group that have young people in the youth group. I don't know what that says, but it's not good. But that's a joy. That's a blessing to this church and to this pastor. So through the years, you watch. You try to discern, and sometimes you scratch your head. I wonder how many times Adam and Eve sat down and said, how can we have two boys and have them go two different directions? I think sometimes as a pastor, you look and you put all the young people in the same program, and why is it that some catch hold and do and others miss it and don't? And I can tell you this, there's been 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 conversations amongst Christian workers trying to figure that one out. And if you can ever figure it out, come tell me, because I don't really know. Except I know this, God made us with a free will. And when it goes right down to it, boils right down to it, church, listen to me, we got 18 years that we ought to roll up our sleeves and give it everything we've got. But it says of Moses that when he was come to years, and you know what? He chose to suffer the reproach of Israel than rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a seed. He chose. And if Moses had to come to an age where he had to choose, then every single one of you in this church will come to an age where you have to choose. And you know what? Watch this. I wouldn't rob you of that for anything. Because what you end up and where you end up on in life, you can spend the rest of your life blaming somebody else about it, but the honest truth is, it's going to come down to you. And you get down to the end of your life, you can sit there with your list of, oh, poor me, and look at this, and if this person hadn't, but that isn't going to hold water at the judgment seat of Christ. When it boils right down to it, just as Moses chose, you'll choose. Mom and dad can do everything they can, and I promise you, we've got a whole army of people in this church dedicated to trying to be a blessing to young people and help and reach them and disciple them. But you know what? You can walk past it all. And you can go ruin your life. And so, you know, through the years, you try to figure it out, though. I mean, I'll probably go to my grave saying, you know, what's the deal? I don't get it. You know, two kids from the same family, two different directions. You got a youth group. You got, you know, 60% of them that, man, go on for God strong, and 40% that just, where were they? They went to all the same things. What in the world? But as you put the, if you'll let them say, success stories, and by the way, that's a good term for them, because I think if you want to define success, here it is. Success is finding the will of God and doing it. Now, the will of God for me may be different. Obviously, it will be different than the will of God for you, and the will of God for you than the person sitting around you. So you have to determine what that is by listening to the Holy Spirit of God, being guided by the Scriptures. But success, I don't care. You can go out there and make, I don't care if you make a mountain of money. You miss the will of God. You don't live for God. You die a failure. I don't care what kind of house you lived in. I don't care what kind of car you drove. And I don't care how many people knew your name. You miss the will of God, and you're a failure in life. Because success is simply this, finding the will of God for you and doing it. And so here we have these wonderful portions of Scripture, and as I study it and just outline the first three verses, you know what? You have in front of you the character traits of those who find the will of God and are success stories. And if you were to take every one of these character traits, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the negative, I'm just going to talk about the positive, but if you took the opposite of each and every one of these traits, you'd have a list of the character traits of the kids that miss the will of God and why they do. And so let me go through this for you carefully, and this will help our young people, but honestly, it's not just for young people. This will help all of us that are working with young people, because all of these things, we got to make sure we're emphasizing to them. Because if we're teaching them and training them in these areas and they get hold and take hold and make these decisions, they're going to be fine. They're going to turn out. They're going to end up doing the will of God. And so let's go down through it. I beseech you, therefore, what's the next word? What's the character traits? Preacher, as you've looked through the years and worked with all of the young people you've worked with and all the children, all the decisions and all, watch. Well, first of all, folks, if you're going to find the will of God, you've got to have a saved spirit, a reborn spirit. I know that may go without saying, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The one thing that is the will of God, we know, is for you to be saved. And you can't find the will of God without first finding Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not going to belabor this point, but I think it's good that we stop Easter preaching. It's a Wednesday night, move on. Well, I don't know. I think maybe sometimes I think how many Wednesday nights, Brother Chad, have some young people apparently come a lot of Wednesday nights. And if they're saved, their life isn't showing it today. I don't know if they just conformed, but were never transformed. I don't know what the deal was. But I think some Wednesday night messages, it doesn't hurt to talk a little bit about salvation here. Preacher, I don't miss a service. Good for you. Are you saved? Well, I go to Christian school. Good for you. Are you saved? Well, my dad and mom have positions in the church. Good for you. Are you saved? Are you going to die and split hell wide open one of these days? And the honest truth is, you don't get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. Okay? And God doesn't have any grandchildren. Okay? You're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. Just because your mom and dad is doesn't mean that you're grandfathered in. And I wonder, honestly, as we've gone through the 40 years, eternity will tell. But how many in 40 years, how many young people that attended a Christian school, was in the youth group, and went teen soul winning, whatever, is going to be at the white throne judgment of Jesus Christ? Now, I can't help all of that, but I'm going to tell you, you better take account of your soul. And don't you play games with this. Don't play games with God on this. But first of all, if you're going to find the will of God, it goes without saying that you have to be saved, because the will of God, God is not willing that any should perish. So the will of God is that you would be saved. If you are not saved and do not receive Christ as your Savior, it is impossible for you to find the will of God for your life. Number two, watch this next little phrase. I beseech you therefore, brethren, what's the next phrase there? By the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, a solemn gratitude. Now listen very carefully. Don't miss this, young people. The right gratitude produces the right attitude. And a solemn gratitude by the mercies of God. He's going to say, I'm going to beseech you to do something. I'm going to beg you to do something, those of you that are saved. And I want you to do it for this reason and this reason alone. By or because of the mercies of God. Say, preacher, why should I give my life to God? Because of his mercies. Why should I surrender my body, as the Bible's going to say here in a minute, because of his mercies? Why should I allow my mind to be transformed because of his mercies? Why shouldn't I go out in the world because of his mercies? Why shouldn't I live a selfish life because of his mercies? I think one of the character traits that guide people to the will of God is this. Young person, have you arrived there yet? Are you there yet? Where there comes this defining moment where you all of a sudden realize just how much mercy and grace God has bestowed to you. You see, ungrateful young people grow up and leave the will of God. Ingrates never surrender to full-time Christian service, never surrender to serve God with their life. Ingrates, for the most part, end up out of church and out of the will of God. Because they're walking around, like I said the other day, with a martyr's attitude about, oh my goodness, poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me, and good night. You know what? I'd ship you off to a third world country and pick you up in a year. Pick you up in a year. You're looking for somebody one more person to get in line and feel sorry for little Miss So-and-so or little Master So-and-so. I'm not getting in that line. Good night. You ought to get up every morning, jump out of bed, run around the house 10 times and shout praises to God that you were born in America. You could have been born anywhere in the world. I mean, you know how much of the world's in utter darkness? You know how much of the world never hears the gospel? You could have been born anywhere. Good night. I haven't left the country enough, but I've left it enough to shout every time I see an American flag and say, thank you, God, that you let me be born here. I mean, listen, lose the martyr's mentality. Poor you, good night, poor you. You were born in a Christian home. All the things it's cost you in your life, all of the happiness you would have had, all of the things you are not going to be able to experience, poor you. Good night. You know what you need to do? You need to drive up to Chicago and spend 7 years like I did doing inner city work. Okay, you know what? You ought to set, watch this, listen to me. You ought to have to set across from a little 12-year-old girl and listen to her tell about what her stepfather's been doing to her. Yes, sir. Come on. Now, please come tell me. Make an appointment and come in, and parents, you come with them because you're helping. Watch, some of you are helping them build this poor me attitude. Instead of correcting it and treating it like sin, you join in with them every time they come home with a little bit of a sad story or an owie. Good night. Yes, sir. I've seen enough heinous things happen to children in unprotected situations. Don't you ever complain about being sheltered and protected. Don't you ever complain about rules. You thank God for rules. Amen. Amen. That's good. Well, okay, do what you want. But I'm telling you, you're going to hear the truth tonight. Go out and do whatever you want with your life. I mean, you're going to have your chance. You know, you're going to be the first one to prove preacher wrong. You're going to be the first one. Okay? Just keep my phone number. You'll need it in 10 years. But I'm just saying, if you listen, if you got an ounce of sense and you listen, and if you don't believe me, put your finger on the Holy King James Bible and look at that, because this is Paul's only plea. He said, I'm going to beg you to do something. I'm going to beseech you to do something. And this is the basis of what I'm going to ask you. You need to do this because of the mercies of God. Well, I need a longer list. That's enough. Jesus was merciful to you and he sent his son. And he died on an old rugged cross. And some of you got salvation. You walk around acting like you don't owe God anything. Good night. I spent the rest of my life serving God. Never come close to paying him back for all he's done for me. Good night. I owe him everything. That's why in a minute you're going to hear him say this. Hey, this is your reasonable service. We're not asking an unreasonable thing from you to give your life to God. That is not an unreasonable thing to ask. Are you saved? Did God save you from hell? Did Jesus love you enough to come down and split and spill sinless, precious blood to pay for your sin? Then you don't need another reason. Well, I'd serve the Lord, but there is no but. He died for you. He did it for you. You got all the reason you need. But listen, if a young person that gets that, they're going through and all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness sakes. You know, that message last Sunday morning, I know you slept since then, and sometimes I don't remember what I preached last Sunday, so I'm not going to get mad at you. But that sermon last Sunday night about what God wants to do with your sin, you know what? Some of you young people ought to go to bed listening to it for the next month. Because what God did ought to create in you a gratitude, a heart gratitude that you never lose. And you know what? No matter what anybody does or says about me the rest of my life, nobody will ever give me a big enough reason to ignore the grace and mercy of God in my life. So I don't serve the Lord based on what people say or do or say or don't do. I serve God because of his mercy to me, and my reasonable service in response to his mercy and grace is to present my body a living sacrifice. So you get a saved spirit, then you got a solemn gratitude. Number three, characteristics of those who find the will of God, young people that find the will of God, a sacrificed body. Now let's get on into it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, a sacrificed body, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You're to present your body a sacrifice to God, but not a dead sacrifice, a dying, a living sacrifice. And so it's to be holy. It's to be acceptable unto God. Now, watch this. What are you saying, preacher? Young people that end up finding the will of God, embracing the will of God, doing the will of God, watch this, marrying in the will of God, recognize their body as the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, let me read some verses to you. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That scripture a lot of times is disconnected from verse number 18. Flee fornication. Let every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And then what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Tell me a trait of young people that end up in the will of God. They treat very sacredly the purity of their body. They treat it very sacredly. Okay? If you want to just about stamp a guarantee on a young person missing, and I understand, folks, that people can miss maybe the premium or the perfect will of God and God have a secondary will. God will use anybody, no matter what they've messed up and do, if they come back. He may not be able to use them what he would have used them for, but he'll use you. And by the way, second or third choice of being used of God is much better than first choice the devil has for you. As a matter of fact, 1,000th choice from God is better than first choice from the devil. Well, I've blown it, so I might as well just go ahead and blow it. Oh, that's brilliant. Okay, if you've blown it, then you know what? Come back. Get it right. Get it clean. You know what? You'd be shocked at the grace of God. You'd be shocked at how many times God just takes somebody and cleans them up and still uses them in a wonderful way. That's what the mercy is all about. That's what the grace is all about. Okay? But I'm going to tell you this. That, listen, having said just what I said just now, and I say that to encourage everybody out here that maybe say, preacher, you know what, when you get on this subject, it's hard because there was a time. I get that, but watch this. I got to preach to these kids too. And I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Read the book of Proverbs. Don't believe me. Read the book of Proverbs. There is a price that is paid by young people who ignore this matter of purity, moral purity. There is a part of the will of God you will sacrifice. Okay, you're not some lost kid that don't know better. I'm not talking about people didn't even know better, wasn't even in church, and man, they got saved, and there's no rewind, but I'm talking about those of you that know you have your opportunity. Well, I'm going to sneak around, I'm going to sneak, and I'm going to do, and I'm going to whatever, and I'm telling you what, if you point to kids that are finding, have found and are doing the will of God, and one of the things that you'll find with that group of young people is this: they took the Word of God seriously when it talked about their body being the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Now look right up here, let me help you young people. Biggest lie the devil tells you is, well, everybody's doing it. That, first of all, that's a lie. Everybody's not doing it. That's a big lie. That's what the devil whispers in your ear. That's a big lie. No. There's young people every single day on this planet, Christian young people, walking down an aisle, pure, morally pure. And you know what? If people in this room can do it during the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s, you can do it now. You say, well, it's worse now. Well, it might be in some ways, but it's not in other ways. You didn't live those times. And by the way, it's never been easy. So what? Usually doing right's not easy. If you're looking for easy, you're going to miss the will of God. And so don't fall for that lie. But many, many young people have been bought into this thing. Well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this and do that, and then later on I'll still land and I'll be happily ever. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie of the devil. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? And we start a big bonfire out here and we get a bunch of hot coals. Can you go out there and scoop up a bunch of handful of hot coals and just hug them real tight and not get burned? Well, that's what the Bible's talking. It says when it talks about, you know what, you give yourself to a strange man or a strange woman, and I'm going to tell you something, it's going to leave burn scars for the rest of your life. Now, I'm pleading with some of you young ladies. You know what? Some of you young ladies still have the most precious gift that you could possibly be given outside of salvation, and you got a chance to throw it away, or you got a chance to teach it, to treat it as precious, and you're going to decide what you're going to do. And it is no more wicked for a young lady to forget this than it is for a young man. Sometimes this is taught and preached like it's a double standard. Like it's important for girls to be pure, not important for guys to be pure. Good night, young man. Same Bibles for both of you. Just as you have just as much a responsibility to be pure. And I'm going to tell you, if you will not present your body and treat it as a living sacrifice, holy, holy and acceptable unto God, you know what? The chances of you finding and completing and living out the will of God in your life is greatly diminished. So a sacrificed body. Number four, a sanctified mind. A sanctified mind. So if you see a young person get saved, and then you see them become overcome by the mercy and grace of God in their life, then you see them accept the scriptural teaching concerning their body and the sacredness of their purity, and then you see, number four, a young person take this challenge, watch it, verse 2, and be not conform to the world, but be transformed. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. Not conformed to the world, but transformed. How do you unconform to the world and become transformed by the Spirit of God? It all happens up here. Now, You'll see it in young, and listen, folks, like I say some from time to time, okay, you're listening to the guy that's done this for a while. Okay, I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in the parking lot. Okay, you're not going to be an exception to any of this. I mean, I give you a list as long as my arm of young people that grew up and thought they were the exception to the rule. You're not the first one that had this brilliant thought. I know that's for everybody else, but I'm different. You're not the first one. And sadly, you're probably not going to be the last. But you know what? God's word, you know what? In his promises, they stand firm. They endure tests. They endure time. They're unchangeable. And if you are going to find the will of God, watch this, you have got to start changing, letting God change the way you think about things. Okay, do you think from, do you see the world and do you think about situations from a worldly standpoint, or do you think about them from a heavenly perspective? Here's a better question. Do you think about things the way you think about them, or do you think about things the way Christ would think about them? Because the Bible does encourage us, let this mind be in you, which was also in. Here's the goal, young person. I don't want you to think the way you think. I want you to think the way he thinks. Well, I just got to be me. Find that in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a command that you're to be you. I mean, that's hard. Okay, I'm going to be me. Let me try real hard. Okay, I'm me. Well, that was a challenge. Well, you got to just be yourself. Worldly philosophy. Worldly thinking. What do you mean you have to be yourself? Well, you just got to be yourself. Where'd you hear that? At a graduation speech at the public school. Well, of course. Of course. Somebody like Jesse McCamley was probably giving his. You know, dumb things that the world says have been listened by, heard by Christians, and they're repeating them. You're just trying to make everybody sane like little cookie cutters. Yeah. Yes. Yes. There's only one pattern. I'm glad this is ranking some of you, because you know what's happening? I'm trying to change your thinking. Okay, some of you see a situation, and you know what you do? You have a carnal, worldly thought process, and you evaluate everything through carnal, worldly thinking. Instead of saying, what would Jesus think about this? How would Jesus react to this? What would Jesus say if this person was saying this to me? I don't want to think like Jerry Ross. When I think like Jerry Ross, I make bad decisions. When I think like Jerry, I don't want to think like Jerry Ross. I want to think like Jesus Christ. When I stop and evaluate a situation, think about a situation, and see it through the eyes of Christ. Now, how is that possible? Well, he gave us his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to conform us to the image of Christ. And so it's not impossible to think Christ-like. Okay? Well, I hope that you're getting this. Well, let me tell you what I think about it. I don't care. What's he think about it? Everybody's walking around wanting to tell everybody what they think about stuff. Don't waste my time. Take me off your little electronic Rolodex. I'm not interested. Okay? I don't ask you to come to church here so you can hear 20, 30, 40, 45, 50, sometimes more, minutes of what Jerry Ross thinks. Everything I'm saying tonight, if you'll follow in the scriptures, is right in line with this process of getting to the will of God. Okay, I want you to think like Jesus would think. React like Jesus would react. Feel like Jesus would feel. I just can't help the way I feel. Yeah, you can. Change your thinking, you'll change your feeler. Your emotions are a result of your thought process. Your emotions are a result of your thought process. Your emotions are a result of your thought process. If you have worldly thought patterns, you're going to have worldly emotions or worldly reactions, and some of you are just trapped in that. You're just trapped in that. But you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's not something that's just available to a handful of Christians. It's available to every one of us, where we stop and say, you know what? Throughout this entire day, everything I see, everything I observe, everything I hear, I want to think like Christ would think and see it like he would see it and think about it the way he would think about it and feel about it the same way he'd feel about it. Okay? Some of you are going to leave this church one of these days and you're going to fall in with a bunch of other people and say, well, they're just trying to do this. You know what? You're hiding behind something. The battle's not between me and you. The battle's not between this church and our church's philosophy and the way you think. The battle, let's be honest. If you're going to leave, be honest. The battle is this. I'm going to spend 18 years trying to get you to think like Jesus. Because the ultimate goal of the Christian life is for you to be like Jesus. And you're not running from me. You're running from him. And what's really bothering is you is not that I'm trying to get you to think like me. What's bothering you is I'm trying to get you to think like him. And I'm not going to let off or change. Because if we don't produce Christ-likeness, we're wasting our time. So stop saying, next time one of your friends comes to you and says, well, how do you feel about that? Say, it doesn't matter. Why are we talking about how we feel about it? What do you think Jesus would do? Well, if I said that to my friends, they wouldn't be my friends. Oh, well, they're not now anyway. You just had a light bulb moment, if you'll let yourself have the light bulb moment. You just got it. If you couldn't say that to your friend and have them have some kind of a knee-jerk crazy reaction, then you don't have a friend. Okay. Well, just test them out. Next time they say it, try it. Respond that way. See what happened. A sanctified mind. Not conform to the world. I know the way the world thinks. I know the way Hollywood thinks. I know what the rock and roll crowd has written and says. I get it. I don't think like them. Okay? I'm not being brainwashed on a daily basis by them. And so if you get into the Word of God and you begin to study it, you begin to think different and look at things differently. And because you look at things differently and think about things differently, you feel differently. And all of a sudden, you just don't have the mind of Christ. You have the emotions of Christ. You have the reactions of Christ. You begin to become like Jesus. That's the goal here. That's the goal. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just read this to you. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I can't reach some of you right now because your mind is so full of your pride, so full of your personal vanity, that you can't listen to this without becoming a smart aleck about it. Right. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. What? Okay, turn to Ephesians 4. I can't just read this. You got to look at the words. You're going to think I'm making this up. You're going to think I wrote this just to make you mad, that it's not really in the Bible, that you wrote this so that I could describe what you're doing right now. But I'm not. Let's just go to the Bible and let you look at it, okay? Yeah, I mean all of you, the ones that aren't turning, why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Why don't you want to look at it? I'm having a good time here. It's good for you. You ought to wake up and grow up and, amen, change some things. Lord help you. This I say therefore, chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You already know everything. You can't be taught. You are so stuck on yourself and your opinion, you won't listen to anybody or anything, especially anything that comes from the Bible. You will not find the will of God. You will not complete the will of God. You'll miss the will of God. Well, I don't care. You will in about 10 years. You'll care in about 10 years. Okay, the way of the transgressor is hard. Now notice this, watch this. Having the understanding darkened, That's what happens. You get all vain in your mind pretty soon. You don't even you have no spiritual understanding. Just a light goes off. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Alienated from the life of God. You're existing, but you're not living. Because of ignorance. Why? Because your understanding is darkened. Why? Because you have your mind's full of vanity. Are you getting this? Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past, what goes next, folks? Yeah. I mean, you don't get your mind straight. You don't win the battle up here. Pretty soon, you get past feeling. Nobody can guilt you in anything. You don't blush about anything. You can do anything, say anything, and you don't even feel bad about it. You can hurt people. You can lead other young people astray. And you know what? You think you've won a victory. Something's been switched off. Who past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Pretty soon, all of these wicked things begin to pop up into your life. But ye have not so learned Christ. Did you get that, folks? What? How did we get here? Because you didn't do what I said a minute ago, which says this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You didn't learn Christ. You didn't study him. You didn't read about him. You didn't walk with him. You didn't say every day on your knees, oh God, please, let Christ be formed in me. Let me to see this the way Jesus would see it. Jesus, let me feel it the way you would feel it. Let me think about it the way you don't learn Christ and all you've got left, watch this, is you. And any man left to himself doesn't do well. You just don't do well. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Watch this. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, true holiness. Boom! Boom! Hey, why'd you say that? I just have always wanted to. Boom! Hey, what's that mean? I don't know. It's just fun to say. You don't think so? Ready? One, two, three. Listen. Ready? One, two, three. Boom! See? Isn't that cool? Now, this is what I'm going to try to teach you. Watch this. Okay, you're saved and you got the Spirit of God inside of you. And you know what? You're going to go to heaven one of these days if you're truly saved. But you see, preacher, I'm going to hang on to the vanity of my mind, the pride of my mind, because I'm going to think a certain way. Nobody's going to change me. Okay. There's two yous that you can be. You got two opportunities, two yous. One is to just conform to the thinking of the world, to refuse to present your body a living sacrifice, to refuse to have a gracious spirit towards the mercy and grace of God that's been extended to you. And for some of you, to refuse to recognize that you're lost. And you can be the you that philosophy produces. Because every belief system produces a life. Well, I just don't see eye to eye on pastor. I know you got a different philosophy. Yeah, that's it. I got a different philosophy. But your philosophy will produce what kind of life you live and what kind of person you'll be. Or you can say, I'm saved and I've got the Spirit of God inside of me. And God has been merciful and gracious to me. Oh my goodness. And you know what? The most reasonable thing that God could ever ask for me is for me to protect and present my body as a holy living sacrifice to him. And by the way, I don't want my stinking thinking. I want to start thinking like him. And I want to view life like Christ. And I want to see life as Jesus would see it. And so I'm going to change the way I think about things. And I'm going to eliminate the voices around me that's always trying to get me to think the way the world thinks. I'm going to get around the I'm excited to be saved crowd. I'm excited about the Word of God crowd. I can't wait to hear the preaching crowd. Let's pray together before we go soul winning crowd. Hey, we're going to have a youth revival. Let's fast. I'm going to get with that crowd. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, it's producing the second choice you. Because you're saved, but you still got some decisions to make. You want to be saved ingrate? You want to be a saved young person that fails to see that your body really belongs to God? You want to be a saved young person that is lifted up with vanity in your mind and you're not going to listen to anybody because you already got everything figured out? Fine. That's going to produce a life. Okay? It's going to produce a direction. It's going to produce consequences. But everybody's going to make that choice. Every one of you guys in this front row, if you're saved, you got to make that choice. And over the years, these many years, 40 years, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I've watched young people that I think are truly saved, but they sit in church with an ungrateful attitude, lifted up in the vanity of their mind, fail to protect the purity of their body. And you know what? They never, ever, ever end up finding the will of God and doing it. But then you see these delightful young people that are saved too. And preacher preaches on Calvary. They brush tears away. They say, Jesus, you did that for me. And you know what? They say, I don't care if everybody else in the whole stinking world throws away their purity and fails to treat their body as if it belongs to God. I'm going to be the exception to that. By God's grace, I'll be the exception. And you know what? I'm not going to think about things the way I'm going to think about them. I'm going to think about them the way Christ thinks about them. So what do we have here? What are the characteristic traits? Let me give them to you. Here we go. A saved spirit, a solemn gratitude, a sacrificed body, a sanctified mind. Number five, a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Go back to Romans chapter 12. We'll read verse number 3. Verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Servant's heart. Preacher, what's a servant's heart? Servant's heart's a humble heart. Servant's heart's a sober heart. Heart. So a servant's heart is a heart of faith. And so give me that young person that's saved. Give me that young person that recognizes the mercy and grace of God in their life. Give me that young person that treats very sacredly the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Give me that young person that says, I'm going to begin to grow up spiritually and let God transform my mind, and I'm going to start thinking different than the world. And show me that young person that has a humble spirit that just says, Mama, Dad, what can I do for you today? Can I do anything to help? He looks at their brothers and sisters and said, what can I do to be a blessing to them? Comes to church and says, preacher, you need anything? Goes to the Sunday school class. You need anything? Can I be a help and a blessing? And you show me the young people that have these five character traits, and I'll show you a young person that'll find, they'll be fine. Say, what's going to happen? Well, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They'll get it. They'll get there. Where you at? Where you at? Are you saved? Is there a gratitude towards the mercy of God? Is there a sense of purity and a sacredness in the way that you treat your body? Is there a transformed thought process? Is there a servant's heart? You know what? If you can go through that checklist and say, preacher, I'm not perfect at any of those, but I try to the best of my ability to be that person. You know what? You're going to be okay. I promise you, you're going to be okay. I'm not saying there ain't going to be some bumps in the road and some challenges, but you're going to be all right. If you go through that checklist and go, listen to me, you're not just in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because life is not going to be good. Life's not going to be good. I feel like getting Brother Klein to count the teenagers in this room and make a CD of everyone, to one for every one of them, and 10 years mailing this message to you. For some of you, it's going to save your life. for some of you, you're going to walk right across once again the Word of God and the love and concern of your preacher, and you're going to go out and do what's been done too many times here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, be the exception. Be the exceptional young person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, well, we've done our best, Lord, to just take three verses. And Lord, I believe that you concentrated in these three verses the secret to finding and doing the will of God. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we think about these things. Holy Spirit of God, minister to each and every one of us. God, help that young person, Lord, that's so calloused and they're so far away and they're so jaded in their thinking that, Lord, nothing I've said seems to have touched anything. God, please help them, dear God. There's such a great life for them. There's such a great future that you have available. And yet there's such disaster awaiting if they miss it. How do you do that? God, I've asked you 100 times. What words can you say? How do you get past that? How can you take a young person into the future who can't see the future? How do you get him to understand? God, we're going to pray. We're going to pray, Lord. And we're going to teach, and we're going to disciple, and we're going to love. We're going to preach and we're going to warn. I pray, dear God, that you would give us a remnant of young people here at this church that'll latch hold of these things, embrace it, be willing to pay the price. Be willing to pay the price. Turn their back on what the world thinks and what the worldly think and say, I'm not missing the will of God for anything. There's nothing in the world that I could hope to find by myself that would be better than the will of God. I am not going to miss it. Everybody else misses it, they miss it. I'm not going to miss what God put me on this planet to do. I'm not going to miss it. Help us, Lord, we pray.